WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday, June 24th, 2016. So honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Once again, on today's show, of course, we will have plenty of talk centered on last night's NBA draft out in Brooklyn, New York, as a couple of Spartans, or I should say three Spartans now, have made their NBA dreams come true. One was taken pretty high. The other two, not so much. We'll discuss that. We will have not one, but two guests on today's show. Omari Sankofa, former state news sports writer, now contributor for Sports Illustrated, will join us here on the show. Omari was in the house in BK to cover the NBA draft for Sports Illustrated, so Omari will give his takeaways and thoughts on what took place last night. Also, after break two, we will invite the father of Denzel Valentine, who was, of course, the top pick out of the Spartans that were chosen in last night's NBA draft. Carlton, head boys basketball coach at Lansing Sexton High School, basketball training and development coordinator at Sparrow Health Club, and, of course, father of Denzel. Carlton will join us right before he gets on a plane to fly back here to Michigan. And, of course, we will have Reflection Friday for you. All of that and so much more. You know that number to be a part of today's show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But, hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, again, folks, we start with the NBA draft. Denzel Valentine became Michigan State's first lottery pick since Jason Richardson in 2001, and Deontay Davis was selected with the first pick of the second round at the 2016 NBA draft at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. The Chicago Bulls selected Valentine at pick number 14, while the Boston Celtics drafted Davis with the 31st overall pick, but a proposed trade has sent the Boston Celtics drafting Davis. That pick was actually sent to the Memphis Grizzlies. So even though you saw Davis up on the podium rocking a Boston Celtics hat, he will be balling out for the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, Valentine and Davis become the 17th and 18th Spartans drafted to play for Coach Tom Izzo, and the 16th and 17th since the 2000 NBA draft. Valentine becomes the 9th first rounder under Coach Izzo. Also, a few notable local stars were also taken last night, other than Valentine and Davis. Kay Felder, Oakland University point guard at 5'9", the Detroit native, was drafted by the Atlanta Hawks with the 54th overall pick in the second round of Thursday's NBA draft and was later traded to the world champion Cleveland Cavaliers for cash considerations. Felder becomes the second player in Oakland program history to be drafted to the NBA, as Keith Benson was selected 48th overall in the second round of the 2011 NBA draft by the Atlanta Hawks. He also becomes the first Horizon League player chosen since Green Bay's Alec Brown, who was taken 50th overall to the Phoenix Suns in 2014. Caris LeVert, University of Michigan's men's basketball guard, was selected by the Indiana Pacers with the 20th overall pick at the 2016 NBA draft. LeVert's selection makes him the 7th Wolverine to be drafted under U of M head coach John Beilein and the 55th all-time in program history. And also, Matt Costello. That's right. Although Michigan State's senior center, Matt Costello, did not get taken during last night's first round and second round. He waited a long time last night with no avail. This morning was a quick remedy. The Hawks, that's right, the ATL, signed Costello as their first piece of post-draft business. Costello will participate in both training camp and summer league for the Hawks as he attempts to qualify for the roster. The Pistons selected Henry Ellison with the number 18 pick In the 2016 NBA draft, Ellison was the number 7 recruit in the nation coming out of high school and nearly averaged a double-double for Marquette as a freshman last season. His 17 points per game led the Golden Eagles. Marquette struggled to an 8-10 finish in conference play and missed the postseason, limiting Ellison's exposure compared to some of the other top members of his draft class. Now, with the number 49th overall pick, the Pistons selected Michael Gabinje, who is a small forward from Syracuse who transferred from Duke. Now, Michael is a 24-year-old who averaged 17 points per game and shot 39% from the three-point line last year. He's hoping to be this draft Draymond Green, right? Everybody who's drafted late is trying to be that Draymond figure. Draymond, of course, now the poster boy for being drafted late and having immense success in the NBA. But he sees shades of Sean Livingston in his game. The Pistons need help at backup point guard, so Michael could certainly help at the point despite being a wing. It appears that Detroit Pistons center Andre Drummond won't be chasing gold at the 2016 Rio Olympics. ESPN's Mark Stein, citing unnamed sources, is reporting that Drummond will not play for Team USA, which instead will turn to the LA Clippers' DeAndre Jordan to play center on the 12-man roster. Sacramento Kings center DeMarcus Cousins has the other center spot. A person with firsthand knowledge of the situation told the Detroit Free Press recently that Drummond was having second thoughts about participating anyway. Mustafa Khalifa, I love that name. A 3-star offensive tackle from Dearborn High on Thursday wrote on Twitter that he had committed to Michigan State. Khalifa, 6'6", 280 pounds, becomes the 12th commitment in MSU's 2017 class and third offensive lineman. Khalifa is ranked the number 72 offensive tackle in the nation by Scout.com for 2017 and number 3 OT in Michigan. He also holds scholarship offers from Cincinnati and Syracuse, among others. So Mustafa Khalifa, offensive tackle, 3-star from Dearborn High, will be a Spartan. Michigan State University Athletic Director Mark Hollis announced this week that the hiring of Kim Bruno is immediate, effective on July 1st, 2016, replacing former head coach Simone Jargim, who resigned in May to relocate to Florida with her family. Bruno comes to Michigan State, I should say, after 11 seasons at Northern Arizona University. She served as the director of tennis and oversaw both Lumberjack tennis programs for 5 years, from 2008 to 2013. She helped rebuild the NAU women's tennis program, capturing its first Big Sky regular season title in 2016. Bruno was also named Big Sky Coach of the Year in 2006 and 2016. The Detroit Tigers, folks, Steve Cishek's 10th inning wild pitch brought home Cameron Maben with the winning run, earning the Detroit Tigers a 4-game sweep of the Seattle Mariners with a 5-4 win Thursday at Comerica Park. The 4-game series sweep was the first for Detroit over Seattle since 1980, finishing up a 2-8 road trip for the Mariners. It marked the Tigers' first 4-game sweep against any team since they swept the Royals in September of 2012 at Comerica Park. Well, folks, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. You know that number to call in to be a part of today's show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Let's start the show.
NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Denzel Valentine from Michigan State University.
You want a guy who will bring a smile to the fans? an electric guy, hardworking guy, much like Buddy Hield, when we said earlier that improved each and every year while he was at Michigan State. Here is Denzel Valentine, the AP National Player of the Year, averaged 19 points, nearly 8 assists, better than 7 rebounds. In some quarters, we read all the reports, there have been some concern about Denzel's knees. Obviously, the Bulls not concerned about them. Why does Denzel Valentine fit in this team now in the post-Derrick Rose era?
Because he's a terrific all-around player that knows how to play. He's excellent in pick and roll. The guy averaged over 19 points, close to 8 rebounds, close to 8 assists. He's the only player to have those kind of numbers since assists has been kept.
Bulls might have lost their Rose, but they get a Valentine.
Denzel, take a look at the monitor. This was your reaction when you were drafted, and it was one of the best reactions of the night so far.
Oh, I guess it.
Just tell me what you were feeling when it all went down.
Ooh, I was getting nervous there, you know, just pick after pick, and you're just kind of sitting there wondering. And I'm just so glad I'm going to the Bulls, and I'm gonna give them my all, and I'm just glad to get this process going.
Now, there were concerns about your knees because of the scope you had in your left knee this season, and you were telling me yesterday you had surgery on your right knee in high school. What did you say to the Bulls to reassure them that you're ready to go?
I mean, I've only missed 4 games in college and, you know, a number of practices. I'm healthy now. I'm healthy now, and that's all I can say to them. And so they felt like I was ready, so I guess they picked me, and I'm just happy to be with the Bulls now.
Glad the wait is over, right?
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, 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 ladies and gents, boys and girls, to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Friday! Yes, the weekend is upon us. But before we dive into the weekend, we have to recap what took place last night in New York at the Barclays Center. The 2016 NBA Draft took place. I was glued to my television, folks. Probably the first time that I've watched the draft from start to finish. Yes, even the second round, because there were so many intriguing athletes locally that were slated to go late. And I wanted to see where they were going to end up. Guys like Kay Felder, I think, is going to be just a complete stud, a complete star. The Cavaliers, the NBA champion, Cleveland Cavaliers, by the way, they get a heck of a player. You know, he may be small, but the dude is tough and can handle the rock. He can shoot. He can play defense. Dude's an all-around player. I just love Kay Felder. Also, Caris LeVert. How about Caris LeVert? You know, unbelievable stuff. He was actually taken before Deontay Davis. How about that? He goes to the Indiana Pacers with the 20th overall pick. And Isaac notified me this morning, Matt Costello. Even though he wasn't taken last night in the first or second round, he does go to the Atlanta Hawks and will sign a free agent contract. So a lot of local talent, you know, making that jump, making that leap to the NBA. None more notable, though, than Denzel Valentine. How about this young man making his NBA dreams come true? It's a bit surreal for me because as I sat there and watched last night's draft, I could not help but have flashbacks to when I covered Denzel in high school at Lansing Sexton. And then I covered Denzel throughout his entire Michigan State career. And now he's blossomed into an NBA lottery pick. I can say that I've covered an NBA lottery pick. Unbelievable stuff. So I'm excited for Denzel and his family. As I mentioned at the very top of the hour, we will invite Denzel's father to the show, Carlton Valentine. Now, yes, I did promise that we would get Denzel on the show before the week ends, but hey, sometimes promises can't be kept. reached out to Denzel's agent, and Denzel, as you can imagine, is just busy with so much that comes with the NBA draft process. And then after you get signed, you meet the team, you meet the coaches, you do promos. I mean, it's nuts right now trying to get on Denzel Valentine's schedule. But we do have his father, who will be flying back from New York to Michigan at 3 p.m. So I talked with Carlton before we took the airwave today, and Carlton will join us via phone to talk about his son realizing a pro basketball dream. And I can only imagine, if you know about the relationship between Carlton and his son, not only Denzel but also Drew, you know this is a very close father and son relationship. Again, Carlton was Denzel's coach, for goodness sake, at Lansing Sexton. And growing up, he's the one who put the ball in Denzel's crib. You know, it has been so cool to watch the Denzel Valentine family reach this moment. The Valentines are great people, and I look forward to chatting with Carlton Valentine. And if you have a call for Carlton, if you have a question, I should say, for Carlton, call in 517-355-9527. You can shoot a question to him to talk about what that moment meant to him and so much more. And also, we will chat with Omari Sankofa, former State News sports writer, now contributor for Sports Illustrated. He covered the NBA draft last night. I was following him via Twitter, and he had multiple pictures of Valentine and Davis, and he was tweeting throughout the night concerning those two and so much more. And I actually read his article, which is posted on the Sports Illustrated website right now, centered on Denzel Valentine. It's entitled "Denzel Valentine Faces Uphill Battle in NBA Draft." So we'll chat with Omari about where he feels Denzel Valentine will fit on that Chicago Bulls roster, which, of course, lost Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose now a player with the New York Knicks. So we'll pick Omari's brain. But I just brief thoughts on the NBA draft from last night, folks. You know, when watching Denzel Valentine last night, again, it was so cool watching that moment and putting it in perspective when you look at the hard work that Zell has put in throughout his college career to get to this point. So on the floor of the NBA draft, you had Denzel Valentine there with his family, as I just mentioned, but not too far, I believe like a table from Valentine, was Deontay Davis with his family, hoping to hear his name called in the first round and possibly be a lottery pick. I mean, everybody had Denzel Valentine and Deontay Davis as lottery picks being drafted anywhere from like 15 to 20, right? And I thought, just like many people out there, I thought that Deontay Davis was going to be taken before Denzel Valentine. And when he wasn't, and when we saw Denzel Valentine get drafted by the Chicago Bulls, I actually predicted that my Detroit Pistons would draft Denzel Valentine. I thought that he was going to fall to at least that far. That didn't happen, though. The Bulls, you know, they said, hey, we love this kid. We love what he brings to the table. He is a hard worker. Why not draft him? He's fantastic. Denzel Valentine is overall just a fantastic player. You can't go wrong with him. But what I thought was going to hinder Denzel Valentine's draft stock, which also even strengthened my point of Deontay Davis, or I should say prediction of Deontay Davis being taken before Denzel, was that you heard all this chatter concerning Denzel Valentine's knee. You heard ESPN's Lisa Salter even ask that question to Denzel Valentine about the health of his knee. And this is an injury that dates back to his high school career, in which he had surgery on his knee while, you know, due to football. And it's healed great. You know, he's had no problems. I can't remember Denzel Valentine missing a Michigan State men's basketball game. I can't remember him missing a practice here on campus. He was a healthy stud here at Michigan State. So, but you know, execs and coaches are so anal when it comes to making sure that whoever they draft is in tip-top shape and in great health, that I really thought that it would hurt Denzel Valentine. In fact, it was quite the opposite. That didn't happen. It was an afterthought. The Bulls were confident in their pick, and they made the right choice. They get a great player. And looking on social media, I followed the Chicago Bulls Twitter handle, and they were just retweeting various fans who were just absolutely already in love with Valentine. And I love, you know, the quote last night during the broadcast. Believe it was Reese Davis who said, and you heard it there, who said that You know, Chicago loses a Rose, but gains a Valentine. That's fantastic. I'm pretty sure maybe that came off the cuff because nobody knows which player is going to be drafted where. So Reese Davis, shouts out to you, man. That was a clever, clever line. Absolutely love that. But on the contrary, we saw Deontay Davis wait some more, and then wait again. And then he just got to a point where he was so frustrated, his family alike, where he said, you know what? I don't even want to be in the room right now. It was just so uncomfortable for me, and I'm sure many of you out there alike, to watch Deontay Davis, again, who was a projected top 20 NBA draft pick, fall into the second round. He was so frustrated, he left the NBA draft floor. He walked into the hallway. As the story goes, Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, he walked over to Deontay and said, hey, you're going to be taking the first pick of the second round. Go back in there. Do me this favor. It's going to be all right. Deontay Davis proceeds to come back onto the NBA draft floor. Adam Silver approaches the podium with the very first pick of the second round of the NBA draft. And actually, Adam Silver, because he actually passed on the duties to, I forget who, do you know who the guy is who does the second round, Isaac?
Can't say I do, no.
I can't say, because I know Adam does the entire first round, but he passes it on to his colleague. And, you know, with the first pick of the second round, that's where Deontay Davis was taken. He fell that far. First pick, second round, and he goes to the Boston Celtics, but that was a trade with the Memphis Grizzlies. So Deontay Davis will be a member of the Memphis Grizzlies next year. But, you know, it was so surreal because not only did you have Deontay Davis leaving the NBA draft floor, but you saw Tom Izzo. They showed Tom Izzo, head coach of the MSU men's basketball team, just walking around with his flip phone or iPhone, whatever he has, and trying to contact different, you know, personnel at respective NBA teams who had a draft pick coming up, saying, please, take my guy. He needs to go. And then you saw Andy Katz come on the air for ESPN, and he mentioned how it's really a surreal atmosphere because you had not only Deontay Davis, but you had a few other one and done's sitting on that floor. You know, it was a young man from Kentucky as well. And John Calipari is doing the same thing that Tom Izzo was doing, trying to work the phone to try and get his guy drafted. And, you know, Izzo went on to tell Andy Katz that, hey, you know what? This is something I've been saying for a long time. And again, I'm paraphrasing here. I'm putting my own flavor on it here, but this is the gist of what Tom Izzo said. You know, I've been seeing this a lot. And this is the point I constantly make, that a lot of these one and done's sometimes need to pump the brakes and really think about the decision to leave their university after the first year to try and make an NBA dream come true. Patience is certainly a virtue. Now, I have to agree because when Andy Katz made that statement of what Tom Izzo had to say, you saw it thrown back to the boys, you know, Michael Wilbon, Jalen Rose, Reese Davis, and Jay Billis. And Jay Billis said, you know what? I hear what Tom is saying here. I hear you, Tom. But I don't think that what we're seeing right now, the example of the, you know, of one and done's being on this national stage, on national television, not being taken high. They thought that they were going to be taken high. Jay Billis said that I don't think that it's going to make a difference at the end of the day. This moment is not going to make a difference. Young kids who, you know, after their freshman year feel like they can make that leap, and those kids who go to different workouts for different NBA teams and talk to NBA GMs and coaches about their draft stock, if those GM and coaches say that their stock is high and that there's a possibility that they are going to be taken, you better believe that those players are going to be foaming at the mouth to enter the NBA draft, to make a dream that has been just sitting there for so long, since the moment they've picked up a basketball, And it can happen just like that after 1 year of college. It's not going to make a difference if they see other examples of one and dones not succeeding as a lottery pick. It's just not. Now, you can look at this, you know, for those that want to argue the contrary, you can look at this and say, hey, well, look at what happened to Deontay Davis. You can look at that and use that as an example. But the young mind of a kid who looks at the NBA as just a moment away, you know, where they can see the light at the end of that tunnel right in front of them now, you better believe that it's not going to make a difference. I hate to say it. Did Deontay Davis make the right decision? No. We all know that. Deontay Davis definitely should have stayed at Michigan State and honed his basketball skills to the point where he was for sure a shoe-in to be a lottery pick. He didn't. He goes in the second round. And the thing about the second round is that really hurts him is that, you know, second round players are not guaranteed a contract. So now Deontay Davis has a huge chip on his shoulder and he has to go out there and into Memphis and really prove himself. It's going to be an interesting situation. And another thing, I have to bring up with Michael Wilbon when Wilbon brought this up. You know, and also Billis agreed with it. You know, why does it have to be a one-way street? If Deontay Davis is sitting there and sitting there humiliated because he thought that he was a lottery pick, you know, those around him said that he was going to go 15 to 20. Every mock draft you saw had him going, you know, in that area. And he doesn't go. Why can't he go back to college? That's the problem that I have. I've always argued that. These young kids, they make mistakes. And in this case, we're talking about millions of dollars on the line. This was a huge mistake when you discuss Deontay Davis. Why can't he go back and say, what, you know what, I screwed up? I want to come back to college and do this thing the right way. Before we hit our first break, I want to invite the man behind the glass, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. How surreal was that last night, Isaac?
Yeah, watching Deontay Davis plummet and his total descendancy from a top 14 player, probably. I mean, this is a guy who I thought might go number 10 overall to the Milwaukee Bucks, number 10. And like you mentioned, second round pick, not even a guaranteed contract. And of course, he'll get a contract because this guy's a first round talent. But his drop in the draft was Connor Cook-esque. It was of that magnitude, of that proportion. And while you could say, look what happens when you don't stay for two seasons. I mean, that's a dialogue that has been thrown around the Michigan State basketball community. At the same time, I find it hard to blame Deontay Davis for any of last night's outcomes. Mm-hmm. Because what happened wasn't any different than what happened when he left, when he was projected to be a lottery player. This is just how it all shook up. And for Deontay Davis, of course you're going to be dismayed at the result of last night's draft. But at the same time, for a player like that to come and be able to go one and done, it is a dream that going into the college realm, he might not have expected to even have that opportunity. So yes, it wasn't the best, but seeing comments like this one, the top comment on Michigan State's basketball page, am I the only one who thought he could have acted a little more excited about being drafted in the NBA? He honestly didn't look like he wanted to even be there. Should have stayed one more season with Izzo or two. Could have developed into a lot more skilled player than he already is.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yes, he could have developed into a more skilled player, but there are two sides to this coin. And just look at Melo Trimble, somebody who went into the draft pool hoping to be a top 10 player, and because he was projected to be a mid to late second rounder after staying one more year, decide to hold it back for his junior season. There's two sides to this coin.
And it's interesting when you discuss Melo Trimble, point guard from Maryland. I mean, Melo Trimble, if he would have came out his freshman year, he could have been a lottery pick.
Easy
lottery pick, right? And then in his second year, he hurts his draft stock. Third year, you know, he evaluates, you know, that second year and says, you know what, I need to get better and I need to make sure that I'm going to be in the lottery conversation before I come out. So, but what comment was that? Who was that from?
It was just a comment from a fan on the Michigan
from a
State
fan.
Basketball
now,
page. But
I want to put this in perspective as well. I understand what he's saying because, yeah, being drafted to the NBA is a dream that us mere mortals will never understand or ever experience, I should say. But at the same time, you're talking about a kid at the end of the day. I mean, this is a young man who just finished up his freshman year at Michigan State University. Deontay Davis is known for not being a personable guy. Let's just put it that way. He doesn't like the cameras. He doesn't like the microphone. Very hard to get a quote out of him. So I wasn't shocked to see a Lisa Salter's interview with Davis that wasn't really interesting. I mean, the only thing interesting about it was that, you know, you could clearly see disappointment on the face of Davis. But he's a young kid, you know, who's thrusted into on this national stage, who thought he was going to go in the first round. You are seeing an immediate reaction from him. So it's hard for me to sit there and criticize his demeanor because I understand where he's coming from. He's a young kid who wears his emotions on his sleeve. He was very disappointed because he thought he was a first rounder and now he has to go out there and prove himself. I'm not going to be smiling in that moment. So yeah. I get it. I get the argument there, but I also see the other side of it too. Isaac, listen to our first break. When we come back, we're going to be chatting with the man who was actually in the house out in New York for the NBA draft, Omari Sankofa, former State News sports writer, now contributor for Sports Illustrated. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Of course, we are chatting about the NBA draft, which took place last night out in New York at the Barclays Center. Interesting drama concerning one Michigan State men's basketball star who realized his NBA dream, but a dream that's a bit bittersweet because he thought he was going to go in the first round. Goes as the first pick of the second round. We're talking about, of course, Deontay Davis, who was selected by the Boston Celtics, but in a trade, he was sent to the Memphis Grizzlies. Deontay Davis was a projected top 20 pick, a late top 20 pick, and as I mentioned at the very top of the hour, Denzel Valentine was taken as pick number 14. To the Chicago Bulls. Right now, we have a man on the line who was in the house to witness last night's NBA draft out in beautiful and busy New York. Omari Sankofa, former State News sports writer, now contributor for Sports Illustrated. Omari, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am fantastic, dude. First off, how you feeling, man? I know that was a long night for you last night.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I mean, by the time all the craziness was over, I probably didn't even get back to 2:30, but great, fun night overall. Definitely appreciated the opportunity to cover the draft through SI and help the coverage with that. Crazier draft probably than most NBA drafts, but definitely a fun night.
Very true. Are you still out in New York right now?
Yes, I am.
That is beautiful stuff. All right, Omari, let's go right into it. I want to start by talking about Deontay Davis. How surreal was it watching what happened, as name after name after name was called, those names not being that of Davis's? And did you see him walk off the NBA draft floor?
Well, for one, it was definitely surreal because you can see pretty much in the main room, but they call it the green room, but really the tables up in the main room in front of the stage. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, of course, Deontay Davis and then two other guys who were invited to the green room were left towards the end of the draft. And then the other two guys who got drafted before the first round was over leaving just Deontay. So then, of course, in that case, he got up with his family and and Izzo, and they left the table. And it's definitely surreal because in every draft, you usually have a guy or two that unexpectedly slipped. But I don't think a lot of people thought it was going to be Deontay Davis because in most mock drafts, he was, I think, pretty universally a top 14 or top 16, 17 pick.
Right. He definitely was. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, I thought that Denzel Valentine was going to go after Deontay Davis. Why and how did he fall into the second round, Omari?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, as you said, I think people expected the roles to be reversed. Maybe Deontay Davis goes 14 and then Denzel Valentine, because of the rumors about his knee, you know, maybe slips a little bit. But it's really hard to say why Deontay Davis slipped. Tom Izzo said earlier today that he thinks that Deontay Davis' quiet nature, he's a very quiet, kind of shy guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't interview well with teams, and that could have led teams to take chances on other guys who maybe interview better or have better workouts. But right now, it really is a little bit of a mystery. There's no concrete reason why he fell down to 31.
Definitely. What was the demeanor of Davis like after the draft? Did you get a chance to chat with him?
No, I did not get a chance to chat with him after, through the hustle and bustle and everything.
Right.
But just based on what I've seen, he was very confused, for one, because, of course, going in, everybody was pretty positive he was going to be a first-round pick. But he also did say that, you know, where your pick only matters so much, and at this point he's going to have to go and prove himself. So seems like his mindset is in the right place for now, but you know, of course, obviously disappointed that he missed on the chance to be a first-round pick.
Omari, do you think that Deontay Davis regrets not staying at least one more year here at Michigan State, now looking at what took place last night?
I think he does. The thing about falling into the second round is that you lose out on guaranteed money in the NBA.
Right, right.
And he lost. I mean, even had he fallen to like the 28th or 29th pick, that's still millions of dollars lost compared to being, you know, the 10th or 11th pick. So I think now he probably is reflecting and is probably wondering if he would have been a first-round pick had he come back and maybe had a stronger year or maybe had a more significant role with the team. I definitely think it would be fair to say that had he come back, things could have, you know, ended up differently.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Omari Sankofa, former state news sports writer, now contributor for Sports Illustrated. Now, and, you know, there was a moment during last night's broadcast, Omari, that I brought up. During the ESPN broadcast, Andy Katz, he comes on screen and, you know, he throws to video of Tom Izzo working the phones to try and talk to other NBA personnel to try and get Deontay Davis drafted. And Andy Katz said that Izzo told him that, you know, maybe this is an example to others out there who are potentially, you know, thinking about leaving after 1 year, only 1 year of college ball. Do you think what took place? Because it wasn't just Deontay Davis. I mean, you saw other players as well. I mean, we saw John Calipari also trying to work the phones to try and get his guy drafted as well. Do you see this having any sort of ripple effect as an example to others out there who are thinking about making that leap early to go to the NBA?
You know, I don't think it will. I think this was a weird draft in that guys who are projected to go, you know, in the 30s and 40s with, like, top 20, and that typically is something that does not happen. I think the approach going into this draft differed a little bit compared to previous drafts. I don't know if that will be the case for things going forward. But in most drafts, when you are a 7-foot freshman who can rebound and block shots and come from a good program, you are typically a number one pick and not, or a first round pick. And this has been the case, you know, the way the NBA has trended, you know, for years and years. This is a draft where that kind of reversed. You had a senior in Buddy Hield who was a top 10 pick, and then you had Denzel Valentine, another senior, who was top 15. And then you had big guys like Deontay and Sky that went in the late first round and then the early second round. That's usually not the case. And I guess it could be a sign that maybe teams are beginning to value experience and versatility more, which I actually read about for SI a couple of days ago, the impact that Draymond might have had on the NBA as far as how guys look at the draft. But it's kind of early to say now. Today, I would say no. I don't think this is going to be a trend going forward. But you never know. You never know. The NBA might be shifting, and it may be becoming a league that, you know, values intelligence over measurables and athleticism.
Yeah, and it's so unpredictable, as you just mentioned. This was a weird NBA draft, and you just never know. I mean, and like I said, I totally agree with you, Omari. I think that at the end of the day, when you have – You know, players who are thinking about coming out after 1 year of college ball, who had a pretty solid freshman year, if they're talking to other NBA personnel out there and, you know, their head coach is doing due diligence to reach out to their contacts and those contacts are saying that you can be a lottery pick, I mean, what kid wouldn't make that move? I mean, this is a dream that many of them have had since they picked up a basketball. So you can't really blame them at the end of the day. Like Isaac said, I'm not putting this on Deontay Davis. If anything, who I do fault probably in this situation is probably the NBA executives and GMs and other personnel who said that, yes, Deontay, you are going to be a high pick. Agree or disagree there, Isaac?
Yeah, I agree because, I mean, the way they get these projections is from inside sources. And there were plenty of players off the board. I mean, maybe not in the order we expected necessarily, but at the same time, hovering around 17 or 18, you think Deontay Davis would be the name to go, and he wasn't even at that point. So I thought there were a lot of inaccurate reports maybe out there, and that's who the blame should be on.
Yeah, without a doubt. You're messing with a kid's money right there at the end of the day. A kid's future, I should say. Omari, before we get you out of here, I want to ask you about, of course, Denzel Valentine, who was taken as the number 14th pick to the Chicago Bulls. He was absolutely ecstatic. I was shocked to hear his name affiliated with the Bulls that early in the NBA draft last night. How great of a fit will he be for the Bulls organization?
I think he'll be a fantastic fit. I think the stars aligned for Denzel, where with the Bulls trading Derrick Rose a couple of days ago, I think they had a strong need for a player who could come in and handle the ball and shoot, you know, pretty much from day one, a guy that they won't have to develop too much. It remains to be seen how much of a rebuild they want to take on, you know, whether or not they trade Jimmy Butler or, you know, just what they do from here. But Denzel's a guy who, from day one, can come in and play. I mean, this is the guy who averaged almost 8 assists a game, shot 44-45% from three, and shot about 7 threes per game. He can rebound. And his defense was solid last year. I mean, this is a guy who can pretty much do whatever you need him to do, and he's also a guy that could probably play 2 or 3 positions depending on the lineup you want to go with. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him, whether they want to make him their point guard or use him off the ball, maybe try to find a point guard in free agency. But I think regardless of whatever role that they have planned for him, I think he'll be able to succeed because he can impact the game in, you know, a lot of different ways.
Yes, certainly. And if you guys want to check out Omari's article centered on Denzel Valentine, it's entitled Denzel's Desire, MSU's Valentine, Determined to Succeed in the NBA. Omari, if there are any question marks about Valentine, what must he get better at in order to be a great player at the next level?
I think a lot's been said about his defense. I don't think his defense is quite as bad as a lot of mock drafts made it out to be. But he is going to struggle to defend some of the better athletes in the NBA. You go up against a John Wall or a Russell Westbrook or, you know, a player of that caliber. I think it'll be tough for Denzel to keep up with guys like that, which, to be fair, most NBA players struggle to keep up with those guys. But that's not necessarily a knock against Denzel Valentine.
Right.
I also think that he's better with the ball in his hands than with the ball outside of his hands. If the Bulls do decide to sign a point guard to become their starter and he brings Denzel Valentine off the bench as maybe an off-ball player, he may have some struggles with just shooting and being a 3-and-D guy. I think he really gets it to the floor of the offense if he's the one initiating the offense. And if he's not the one doing that, then, you know, it may be a little bit of a rookie year for him. But, I mean, beyond that, those are really the only two knocks. Everything else about him is extremely fundamentally sound, and I can't imagine that there are going to be too many things he significantly struggles with at the next level.
Certainly. All right, Omari, who was the best dressed last night, dude? besides you.
Besides me, huh? All right, that makes it better. Let's see. I thought Brandon Ingram had a great suit. Actually, on draft media day, he said that his suit was a little classy, a little flashy, but it was a lot more flashy. He had the kind of, like, gray and black kind of pattern going, like a zebra pattern, but not really.
Right.
That's the one that stands out the most. There were a lot of guys who wore suits that were different shades of red, which they all look good, but I can't really see which one was best because they were all pretty similar.
Right.
In general, I thought the suits this year were a lot more reserved compared to years past, but because of that, Brandon Ingram's suit, which was anything but a classic look, it was extremely flashy and extremely cool looking. That's the one that sticks out to me the most right now.
Yeah, his had to be probably my favorite jacket because it did look like it's hard to describe it. It's black and white, and it's just like, you know, it's just like art. You know what I mean? It was a
weird one, yeah.
It's like he bought a gray suit and just somebody with black paint just like threw, you know, just, I don't know, just threw paint on it. I don't know. It was dope. It's a cool suit, though.
It is. Something to be impartial to, though, that you really do have to give credit to, Caris LeVert. He showed out.
How about the amazing blue jacket? Oh, man, that was pretty dope. Dope stuff. All right, Omari. Well, thanks so much for your time, my man, and travel safely back to your friendly confines, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it, my man. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will chat with the father of Denzel Valentine, Carlton Valentine. That's right. Head boys basketball coach at Lansing Sexton High School, also basketball training and development coordinator at Sparrow Health Club. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Whether it's state politics or local issues.
I want to make sure that when they walk over in the morning and throw the switch on the wall that they know their lights are going to come on. I don't want them nervous when every time a cloud comes over that a thunderstorm might interrupt their service.
Current State looks at Michigan from all the angles.
It's not a narrative people want to hear because it doesn't fit the image.
What you need to know, what you want to know. Current State daily on 90.5 FM and AM 870 WKAR, always at WKAR.org.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. About 15 minutes left of airtime here. And to close out our hour, we plan on doing it with a bang. Of course, today's show is dedicated to the NBA draft, which took place last night in New York at the Barclays Center. Denzel Valentine of Michigan State was chosen at number 14 to the Chicago Bulls. What a cool moment, as you saw Denzel's name announced by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Denzel pops up with excitement, probably the best reaction to an NBA dream coming true. And, you know, you saw Denzel's family there. You saw him give the pretty cool handshake. Isaac, we need a handshake. Did you see the handshake between Denzel and Drew? How fly was that, dude? We need one like that. It probably won't be that fly, but we'll work on that, all right? And, you know, you saw him, you know, hug the rest of his family members and friends, including his father. That's right, Carlton Valentine, who is the head boys basketball coach at Lansing Sexton High School, basketball training and development coordinator at Sparrow Health Club, and, yes, father of former MSU hoop star, now turned Chicago Bull, Denzel Valentine. Carlton, how you feeling, my man?
Oh man, it's surreal, Al. You know, thanks for having me on the show, man. We were all just bracing and waiting and waiting and waiting, just playing the waiting game, man. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. We're not really privy to the information, so you just gotta sit there and wait, man. Hope that you did everything that you could to put yourself in the best position to have your name called, and that's what Denzel did.
Yeah, he certainly did that and more. Carlton, what went through your head when you heard the Valentine name affiliated with an NBA team for the first time? That had to be pretty crazy.
You know, man, I had a bunch of feelings. The first one was relief, man. You know what I mean? After you sit down and we kind of knew that his name was going to be in play between 10 and 20. So that when the 10th pick was Thon Maker and it was Milwaukee, that was one of the teams that he was on the draft board. And then the 11th pick and the 12th pick was Torian Prince. And he went to Utah, and I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, he went to Atlanta, I can't remember. And then we were like, oh, man, what's going on? You know, because he was in play there. So when we heard his name called, I just jumped up and screamed. I screamed, my wife screamed, Denzel screamed, my son Drew screamed. Like you said, they did their LeBron James 20-minute handshake. So It was funny, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it certainly was. And, you know, kind of just put in perspective what this journey has been like for Denzel and, of course, the family. I mean, how crazy has these last few months been for you all, culminating with what took place last night?
Well, you know, this journey has been pretty exciting, man. It's been a lot of new challenges, you know what I mean? For us, you know, my whole family is involved in the game. You know, my son Drew is assistant basketball coach at Oakland University. I coach at Lansing Sexton. I do training, and Denzel played at Michigan State. So we've always been involved in the game. But these last few months, none of us have ever been involved on the NBA side. So it's a lot of learning going on for us. You know, we hired an agent who's a former Chicago Bull, B.J. Armstrong, won 3 championships with Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. I saw B.J. there, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you got to hire an agent, and then you got to go to the NBA draft combine, and then you got to – there's a lot of stuff that goes on, man. He had a pro day out in Los Angeles where there were over 100, maybe 125 NBA coaches, scouts, general managers, owners. Man, so this has been one heck of a process, man, I'll tell you.
Without a doubt. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the father of former Michigan State hoop star, now Chicago Bull, Denzel Valentine. Carlton Valentine is on the line right now. Now, you mentioned Carlton before the draft, how it wasn't about who takes you, but about what happens after that, you know, the work you put in after that. How happy, though, are you that Denzel landed not too far from Michigan in Chicago?
Well, you know, logistically, it's perfect. You know what I mean? Because he's away from home, but not too far away where we can't get to him if we need to. So, mm-hmm. And I've always been a Midwest. Even though I grew up in Washington, D.C., I spent the majority of my life in the Midwest. So it was great to have him land in Chicago with the new head coach, who's in his second year, Fred Hoiberg, who's at Iowa State. And then with a great player, Jimmy Butler. You know, Jimmy Butler's a great player. They just traded Derrick Rose the day before. So this has been really crazy. Ironically, Derrick Rose and Denzel have the same agent.
Get out of here.
Armstrong. No, I'm not. It's the same agent. And it's the same agent for Draymond Green as well.
Oh, man.
So Derrick Rose, Denzel, and Draymond all have the same agent. So it was, I'm telling you, man, it's been a whirlwind. I'll just tell you that much.
Has Denzel had any talks, I mean, with them sharing the same agent, has Denzel had any talks with Rose about this moment at all?
I'm sorry, can they reach it out?
Has Denzel had any contact with, since they share the same agent in B.J. Armstrong, has Denzel had any contact with Derrick Rose at all? Has he talked to Derrick Rose at all since last night?
I don't know if he talked to Derrick at all.
Right.
But I know Derrick was on his way to New York as we were on our way out. And, you know, I know Derrick was pretty disappointed about it because B.J. shared that with me. Being a kid from Chicago, who grew up in Chicago and played for the Bulls, and you know what I mean, it was just a tough situation. But you know, that's the business side of the game. moves get made, and as a player, you really don't have very much to say about it.
Very true. All right, Carlson, before I get you out of here, I want to ask this because I find it so intriguing, anyone who is drafted that high as a lottery pick. You know, I mean, the world that you live in and those around you that are close to you, I mean, that changes dramatically. I got to ask, Carlton, I mean, since, you know, even the moments leading up to last night, I mean, has Denzel had to deal with, you know, his third cousin coming out of nowhere trying to establish a relationship because he knows that Denzel is going to be a high pick in the NBA and a pretty good player at the next level? What's that been like?
Well, establish a relationship with who, Al?
Just the hoopla surrounded around going to the NBA. Did you see what a lot of players, I mean, you know, you hear these stories. You know, I was talking with, you know, Morris Peterson last weekend, and Mo Pete was telling me, yeah, you know, when I got drafted, I mean, I had family members coming out of nowhere that didn't even know who I was. You know what I mean? I didn't even know who they were. So has Denzel experienced that at all?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, man. You meet people and hear from people you haven't heard from in years, and then some people try to act like they know you, and you don't even know who the heck they are. That's pretty crazy, man. You know, like, you know, I've been getting phone calls, man. I can't even return all my text messages, but I returned Al Martin. So Al, that's my guy. I returned Al Martin. But
thanks so much, Carlton. Yeah.
No, it's been just unbelievably crazy, man. I can't even explain it to you.
I can only imagine. I want to throw it over to my engineer really briefly here. We only got 3 minutes left, Carlton, but he wants to ask you a question as well. 1 second.
Yeah, Carlton. I mean, it seems like it's just the perfect situation all around, and you guys were exuberant, obviously, after the pick. I guess my question would be, how do other people hold it in so well when they're drafted on the best night of their lives?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
No. How do other players and people hold it in so well on the best night of their lives? Because you guys were just exuberant, and rightfully so, after the draft pick.
Well, you know, we're an emotional family. So, you know what I mean? You know, we don't hold anything in. You know, we try to remain calm and try to be as smooth and professional as possible. But, gosh, man, you know what I mean? Come on, man, it's the NBA draft, man. You worked your whole life to get in this position. You know, Denzel's worked really hard, you know. Drew's worked really hard. My wife Kathy's worked really hard, you know what I mean? In a lot of different areas, in a lot of different ways. You know, he didn't get there by himself, and he'll be the first to tell you that he had a lot of help along the way. So, you know, we're all invested emotionally in what was going to happen last night. So, you know, we tried to remain calm and cool, but, you know, when we heard that name, I think all of us jumped up a screen. You know, we're all guys crying and happy and just excited for Denzel to move on to the next phase.
Yes, and yeah, it's the NBA draft. Just let it all hang out. Carlton, what is Denzel up to right now? Is he still going to hang around in New York? Is he headed to Chicago right now? Where do you guys go from here?
Well, actually, we just had our plane delayed twice.
Oh, man, that's
supposed to be out of here, but we were supposed to leave at 12:30, then it got pushed to 3, now it's been pushed to 5. We're in LaGuardia, New York, LaGuardia, trying to get out of here, but, you know, Denzel's right next to me, he's on the phone, and Kathy's next to me, and we're just sitting here, you know, just waiting to get out of here, man, so we can get back home. He's got a couple days back home, then he has his press conference in Chicago on Monday.
Okay.
And then he's just going to stay there, and he's going to work out for like a week, and then he goes to the NBA Summer League, which is in Las Vegas, from like the 8th to the 18th. So
okay,
that's where he's going to be.
All right. Well, I tell you what, on behalf of us all here at WKR's Current Sports, much thanks for coming on the show, Carlton. Tell Denzel and the family I said congratulations, and we look forward to hearing from you soon, all right?
Okay, Al. Thanks for having me always, brother, man. It's always great spending some time with you, man.
You got it. All right, my man.